Anchors away. Back here, John Philip Sousa on the Bernie and Sid Show. Heard everywhere on the 77 WABC app. And, of course, in a tribute to our next guest, who really does need no introduction. He's the man who shot Osama bin Laden. He is the hero who did that, the former Navy SEAL. And he's also the author of The Operator, Firing the Shots That Killed Osama bin Laden, and My Years as a SEAL Team Warrior. Great book, great read. I read it myself. But to his Twitter feed, Robert J. O'Neill's Twitter feed is priceless. It's at McHooya, at McHooya. Let's bring him in. Good morning, Rob.
Robert.
Good morning, guys. I'm happy to hear that my Twitter feed is priceless because I've had other people tell me different.
No, it's great. You're going to hear from me. To me, it's noted for its humor, its brevity, and almost always making profound points with, again, an economy of words, which is brilliant. And I want to start off with a couple of your tweets because they lead into the big question of what's going on today. First of all, how you doing, Rob?
I'm doing great. I'm in a place where I have guns. I have a golf course, so I'm fine. I've been traveling a little bit again. I'm going to probably fly somewhere today and spend some time near the ocean. I don't know. It's good.
You know, you deserve to be living a good life. You really do.
He never tells us where he is, though. He's like he's still like on a mission with the Navy SEALs. Like, I'm going to be by some golf course in some ocean somewhere with a couple of guns, and then I'll text him. I'll go, hey, Rob, will you tell me? He goes, I can't even tell you. I love you, Sid, but I can't tell you.
And probably for good reason. But anyway, some of the tweets. Here's very short. My driver and I just got pulled over by a cop doing 45 and a 35. I should have been destroying buildings. He would have left us alone. That's one. Another, it's not a civil war till both sides show up. And then finally, don't worry, America, men are coming back very soon. Now, Rob, I don't know if you're being sarcastic in this last one, but of course, what we're witnessing in this country is embarrassing. The submission that's going on amongst politicians, corporations, athletes, and the whole thing, in my opinion, is an effort to overthrow our way of life. This is serious business, and a lot of people are not showing up. The men are not showing up. I think. Anyway, what do you say?
Yeah, I mean, and again, a lot of my stuff is tongue-in-cheek. With the cop that pulled me over, I was going 10 miles an hour over the speed limit. He should have pulled me over. So, you know, I'm kind of messing with him.
I'm just making a point, though,
that, like, you're going to just basically law-abiding citizens, but we can, you know, go ahead and go steal all the stuff that we want from every store and just shatter people from, a lot of people from their own communities, but, what's going on right now is just this is no longer a protest. This is an insurgency, and they've been and the radical left has been planning this for a long time, just waiting for their chance.
This was their chance. There's no question. Yeah. They took advantage. Robert O'Neill, of course, joining us now again, the man that did take out Osama bin Laden. You know, look, you don't have a job right now, really, Rob, where you can get fired if you tweet something that is not tongue-in-cheek and actually controversial. I can. And I've been on Twitter for a long time. I know you like my tweets, Rob, and I go...
I do.
I go nuts. You know, I'm a white guy that doesn't like Black Lives Matter. I don't care. I bash Cuomo. I bash de Blasio. I defend Donald Trump. And I decided to get off Twitter about 2 weeks ago, Rob, and I swear to God, the amount of people that tweeted me and said, oh, my God, Sid, you don't get it. All we've got is like Candace Owens and Rob O'Neill and like James Woods. You can't get off Twitter because you're one of the few rational voices out there. And they actually compelled me to come back on because we do need more voices like you and I on Twitter.
Well, yeah, and I still get to travel quite a bit and talk to a lot of people, and I have faith in the American people. I see people from every race. I see straight people, gay people, and most people are very, very rational and get along with each other. But they're getting this the platform, the media is. I don't know what the media is getting out of this, but all they do is try to fuel the fight. And you know, I agree, Black Lives Matter, of course, but the organization itself is Marxist, and they admit it.
That's right.
And that's a problem. That's a problem. And that's when Nikita Khrushchev was saying in the 50s, we're going to destroy America from within once we take their schools, which they did, once we take their entertainment, which they did, once we take their media, which they did.
Yes.
Here's someone telling you to your face, I'm going to do this to you, and there's nothing you can do about it.
That's right.
And that's what they did. And this is what we get. And we also learned with this generation that I guess butt whippings are a lot better than a timeout. It didn't work out the way we thought it would.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly right. Look, as far as the double standards and all that goes, of course, the protests and everything, A-OK with the social distancing. No problems, no complaints, no protests by the media. Of course, a Trump rally, a bad thing. They canceled a marathon here in New York City. I say they should have handed out the I Can't Breathe T-shirts to everybody and just call it a protest and conduct a marathon.
That's what they could have done, yeah. And it's amazing the Democratic Party can just turn coronavirus on and off like a switch.
Yeah. That's what they've done. You're right. When it works for them, people are dying. And when it doesn't, don't worry about the protesters. You know, look, when you went into Pakistan and you killed Osama bin Laden, which every American, I don't care if you're Republican, Democrat, Independent, we're all in debt to you forever. You're a hero. Now, you're good friends with me and Bernie, but you're a hero. But the enemy was clear cut. You had a mission and you took out the enemy. You know what's frustrating about this is I feel like I live in New York City amongst the enemy. But I can't have Rob O'Neill go down to City Hall and shoot all these people. Believe me, I wouldn't mind it. I wouldn't mind it. But I can't do that. So now we've got this enemy living amongst us, Rob, and we can't just shoot him.
It's crazy. I am amazed that people still vote for these people. If you really think Nancy Pelosi cares about any other person, you're lying to yourself. I mean, look at a lot of these liberal policies done in the city. It's horrible. I love New York City. I lived in New York for about 3 or 4 years. Love it there. Always had a blast, you know, because New Yorkers, people around the country will say New Yorkers are rude. No, they just tell the truth. And now the greatest city in the world is getting destroyed on a BS. Look, the protests are fine, and I agree. Look, we all need to come together. That's fine. Whatever. But the looting does nothing but destroy the country, and that's what the George Soros of the world are doing. The people behind the scenes pulling the strings, they're doing it, and if you don't think they are, you need to wake up.
Yeah, and divide us as well. I mean, we saw who was doing the looting, and it's inescapable, and people form opinions by what they see on TV. Listen, you also wrote to Rob O'Neill, a former Navy SEAL who shot Osama bin Laden, God bless him. You also wrote that the anarchy worked. The Dixie Chicks changed their name. And then you wrote, while renaming everything, let's rename New York City Fallujah. I mean, these are priceless tweets. And, of course, go ahead.
Everything's racist now. I'm sure something with York is racist. So let's just name it Fallujah, because that's how we're treating each other.
Man, and you actually, did you fight in Fallujah, or was this...
Yeah.
You did, okay. Yeah. I know you were in Baghdad.
We made our way around Iraq pretty much everywhere. We were doing what at the time I thought was a great thing, and it's just, you know, that's another example. You know, if people could just be left alone, maybe we'd get along better.
Yeah. Yeah. By the way, 12 deployments, 400 combat missions.
No, this guy is. Rob O'Neill is no joke. And the book, The Operator, is great. We both read the book, and Rob actually promoted that book when he first wrote it here on the Bernie and Sid show. You know, lost in all this now, Rob, and you've been on the show many, many times, and we were still talking about what was going on with Iraq and what was going on with Iran and China and North Korea. And it seems like all of that now, Rob, has been kind of put on hold because of all the domestic issues going on in the United States between the COVID and then the looters and the rioting and now the protests. But I got to think, Rob, that around the world, guys and girls like you are still out there defending us. We're just not hearing much about it.
Yeah, oh yeah, the men and women are out there, too. And we're lucky we have the U.S. Navy, the U.S. Air Force, the Army, and the Marines, because those are tough guys. And they'll be able to defend us. And hats off to everyone that puts their right hand up and enlists. But something else you can't take your eye off is because of this pandemic out of China, man-made or not, or released on accident or on purpose, someone was researching something, and like it or not, they have just given Al-Qaeda and ISIS the perfect biological weapon.
Wow.
Absolutely right. By the way, according to Governor Cuomo, it's a European virus, not a Chinese virus, Rob.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because they're all in, you know, China. They have so much BS going on in China. A lot of these politicians. And this worked out really well for Joe Biden because we kind of forgot about the Ukraine deal and all the money he got from China, and now he doesn't have to debate President Trump. And,
sadly.
You know, it's sad.
It is. You also tweeted this. Do you geniuses realize that every city is being run by Democrats? And you point out very astutely that Derek Chauvin was a stone-cold Democrat. Now imagine, and Minneapolis, Minnesota, Democratic state city, imagine if Derek Chauvin was a Trump supporter. You don't hear anything about Derek Chauvin, the cop that killed George Floyd. If he was a Trump supporter, you'd be hearing, he'd be all over the news.
Yeah. No doubt about it. And yeah, I mean, in Minneapolis, when Ronald Reagan won 49 of 50 states, Minnesota was the one he didn't win.
Right.
And it's pretty Democratic up there. And again, I hate what they did to George Floyd. It's the most disgusting thing. I've seen a lot of bad stuff, and that was disgusting. And someone should have just jumped on those dudes, too. But
yep.
for the powers that be to use that to start to try to destroy the infrastructure is no, sickening.
I'm sorry. Again, it was a tragic death, and I felt badly for the guy. But we destroyed the whole country over this guy. It's ridiculous. I can't say anything else. It's ridiculous. Now, let me ask you about the kneeling thing, Robert, because I'm a big sports guy. Obviously, you know that, and I'm very down on a lot of the sports that I love my whole life, especially the National Football League, Colin Kaepernick and the kneeling. Now, Bernie and I have had other guys in the studio, guys that have come back from Afghanistan, for example, with no arms and no legs. And they said to us that they find it incredibly disrespectful. Yes, you're fighting for our freedoms and you can do it. It's not illegal. But they do find it incredibly disrespectful when somebody kneels when that song is playing. As a man that served all those missions, a Navy SEAL, and killed Osama bin Laden, do you, Rob O'Neill, find it disrespectful? Or do you feel like that's what you fought for?
I am all about peaceful protest. I find that disrespectful. And again, Colin Kaepernick he wasn't making a peaceful protest against police brutality. He was lazy. That's all he was. He was sitting on the bench the first time it happened and someone took a picture of it. And he had he wasn't just sitting on the bench during the anthem. He was sitting on the bench during the whole game. But, that's what he was doing. And then he did a little quick, hook, bait and hook type thing. And, decided he could talk to a liberal soldier. What's a better way? And so Neil and I became peaceful protest. And, he's wearing a Che Guevara shirt. Like, do a little research on racism and homophobia, or not even homophobia, like killing homosexuals.
And plus, by the way, wearing those socks to practice, which had pigs dressed as cops.
Yeah, I know. I don't know. He's an opportunist. I mean, I wish I could be out of work and make $100 million. But I don't know. I'm so over it. It's like, yeah. This is the greatest country in the world. People are flocking here because of the opportunities that you can have, and it's freedom. And then you got mayors all over the country saying that owning a business in downtown Nashville is a privilege, not a right. It's like, you're an idiot, not a mayor.
A complete and total moron. And by where are the tough guy athletes in sports who think like you, no doubt, but they don't have the balls to say it, to speak up to a Colin Kaepernick or somebody? They don't exist. You don't see. They're all capitulating, just like Drew Brees and the rest of them. All these.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, it's really. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, it comes down to the business aspect. Like, Drew Brees had his best receiver kind of saying that was the wrong thing to say, and he apologized. Because it's business. I've met a lot of professional athletes and in every branch of sports, and they've all been awesome dudes. I mean, these are complete studs at the top of their game. But they're towing the line too, like everyone else. You can't say we had a saying in combat: anything that you do can get you killed, including nothing.
Yeah.
And that's what's going on.
You're right about Brees. His top wide receiver Thomas, his coach Sean Payton, the ownership all came to him and said, "This ain't going to work." And Drew wants to play football. He's great at it, and so he caved in. I mean,
so he threw Grandpa under the bus.
He did. He's actually a very nice guy. He's raised a ton of money for the city of New Orleans. And it, for me, I'm more sad with Drew Brees than angry. I'm angry with LeBron James, but I'm sad with Drew Brees. Anyway, you are a stud. Come into the studio.
I want to get back in there as soon as we all survive. If we do,
okay,
I'll get up there for sure, guys. Thanks for having me.
I don't think this virus can kill you. If you didn't get killed in Pakistan, to be honest, Rob, or Iraq, I think you're going to be just fine, right?
I know. I got asked the other day, "How's life?" And I said, "Taken forever."
The great Rob O'Neill, at McHooya, by the way, at McHooya, M-C-H-O-O-Y-A-H. It's really a great Twitter feed. Robert J. O'Neill, who killed Osama bin Laden, on the Bernie and Sid Show. We're coming right back.